There continues to be a narrative pushed around Hugh Freeze press conferences. I want to address it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, aka Charlie Five. Happy Monday. We are a bye week. It's bye week. There's nothing going on in football this week for Auburn. So we are going to battle through it, and we are going to break things down, see what's going to happen, what we think could happen towards the end of the year to finish out the season. But today I want to talk further about this these press conference narratives that I feel like are pushed that are just patently false. And I can't tell if it's just anger or if we're truly being this dishonest with ourselves and with others. So it's something I want to dive into. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus. Give them anything up to $500 and they'll give you another $500 back on top to play with. They'll match whatever you deposit up to $500. So that means, hey, football, NFL, there's even some playoff baseball left, all kinds of different sports. You could have essentially risk-free bets for quite a while, I guess as much as you want on that of that bonus, just by going to mybookie.ag and using coupon code NEXTROUND. I told you to hit Auburn on the under this past hit Auburn to cover the spread this past weekend, and they obviously did that. Hopefully some of you took advantage of the double up deposit bonus and scored big. So check them out, mybookie.ag. So yeah, there continues to be a narrative. And I think I know why, and we'll address why at the end. But there continues to be this narrative that essentially Hugh rolls into a press conference and takes zero blame and just starts throwing players under the bus. I've heard the term throw players under the bus so much that I could throw up. it's every single press conference. It's taking a soundbite, it's taking a clip, and then framing that as if it's the whole press conference. Framing that as if Hugh walked in, sat down, and just started railing on everybody that sucked but him. And if you are a casual, you know, scroller on, you know, social media, if you're just a casual reader of Auburn sports, that's what you would take away, because we've become a soundbite society. We're not even become, we are a soundbite society. And I think for the most part, the way that journalism works now and the way that the media works now is, hey, sound bites are what you have to have for engagement. Sound bites are what you have to create conversation. And unfortunately, you couple that with the losses that we've had, and that continues to be the deal. And I just don't think, if you watch the press conference, I would challenge you to go watch the post-game press conference. It's only 10 minutes. It's not even that long. And see if you come away with the same – see if you watch that press conference and see if you come away with the same opinion. If you think that it's just Hugh going in there from start to finish, throwing people under the bus, I challenge you to go watch that press conference and see if you come away with the exact same opinion. When you talk about Hugh taking blame saying that the coaches deserve a lot of the responsibility, this is how he started the press conference off, okay? Typically, he'll come in and he'll have an opening monologue, whether it be sometimes it's long, sometimes it's short, but this is how he started the press conference off, okay? I'm talking about within 5 to 10 seconds of saying, it was a tough game, we really tried hard, or we really hoped we would pull that out, we didn't, blah, 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 blah. Within 10 seconds, this is what he says. We're not playing winning football, and I'm glad it's an open week. We as coaches have to figure out how to coach them harder to not make critical errors at critical times. Okay. So that within 10 seconds, he said, during this open week, the coaches and myself have to figure out the errors that they're making. There are some errors that are being made, but it's on us to fix it. And he addressed it within the first 10 seconds. We're going to spend this whole open week figuring out how to coach them harder so they won't be in those positions to make those errors. That is how you start off the football. That is how you start off the press conference, talking about the football game. We're not playing winning football in critical moments, and it's our job. It's my job. He reiterated that. We're not playing winning football. It's our job. It's my job to get that fixed. What is that? What does that sound like to you? If that's at the beginning of your monologue, does that sound like you're walking into a press conference, throwing people under the bus left and right? Does that sound like you're going in there blaming everybody but yourself? Doesn't sound like it to me. I mean, that is literally the quotes within the first 10 seconds of the press conference. Just go Google it. Just go Google it. Watch the video and see if you come away with a different opinion than what I just than what I'm stating right now. Unless you're, it's honestly, it feels like we're being dishonest with a little bit. And again, I'm going to get to that at the end. Another thing, he was asked about fighting for 60 minutes, and he made a comment, and this was something that was taken out of context. I feel like he was asked about taking the fight for 60 minutes, and he said, honestly, I wish we would have fought a little bit harder. And he said a few things, and he said, it really goes back to us coaching them better. That's how he wrapped it up. So he said, yeah, I do wish it was a little bit tougher for them to put the game away. I wish we would have fought a little bit harder whenever, the game was on the line right there at the end. But he said at the end, it really goes back to us coaching them better. I mean, again, it seems like almost every single answer, that part's left off. When it's in discussion, of talking with everybody else, when you're talking about this press conference, these little things are always left off. We just completely erase them. We completely erase them from our memory. We've painted the picture now, so the media has painted the picture, and this is how we don't want to do the effort to go back and look at the whole transcript, or we don't want to do the effort to go back and watch and form our own opinion. We're going to digest the sound bites, and that is the narrative we're going to run with. Talking about the rest of the season and coaching the players, coaching the players tougher towards the end of the season, he says, I've never met a great player that didn't like to be coached harder. And that's what we as coaches have to do. We have to work harder. We have to coach harder. Multiple times throughout the press conference, there were times, and I'm going to read in just a second, even the fourth and one play, there are times where he gives a critique that is an answer to a question, and then he ends it with, that's on us. We have to coach that better. Over and over and over again, he starts off the press conference taking the blame. He takes the blame at the end of multiple questions. The narrative that Hugh Freeze is not taking blame and blaming everybody else is simply not true. It is simply untrue. There's really not even a shred of truth to it. There's not 1% shred of truth to it. Now, if you want him to just not answer questions, that's one thing. If you just want him to say, it's on me, every single time he's asked a question, I mean, that'd be a pretty boring press conference. You'd get nothing out. You wouldn't really learn a lot about what goes on and what's the ins and outs of the football game. And I think probably a lot of people would criticize him for doing that as well. But you try to get truthful, honest answers about what happened. And then he still always ends up turning it around to where it's a coaching thing. You got to coach harder. We got to do better. We got to make sure that's not an option. We're going to go to that one in just a second, but because I want to definitely dive into this fourth and one call a little bit more and really open your eyes to what was asked and what was said specifically. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. Look, I know everybody has a 401k. Everybody has a savings. But how do you know that that savings or that 401k or that whatever you have, retirement plan, is performing at an optimal level? It's reducing fees, needless fees. It's doing everything it can to keep you from being pillaged by the IRS. You're protected from the IRS. Like, there's all these certain things that you can't really know, honestly, until you talk to Ford Stokes. You may have an idea, but Ford Stokes will let you know right off the bat, hey, you could be doing this, you could be doing that, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. And he'd do that for you absolutely free. You check him out at retirementresults.com/plan. Tell him War Eagle, tell him I sent you, and make a friend at the same time. That's Ford Stokes with Retirement Results presented by Active Wealth. Now let's talk about this infamous fourth down call, okay? That seems to be the biggest talking point of the whole game, and understandably so. You come out, you're starting the fourth quarter. It's fourth and one. You're only down 11. You're close to midfield. You're not right at midfield, but you're close to midfield. You've had some success driving the ball. You bogged down inside the red zone a few times, but you pick this up. You pick up 1 yard. Who knows what happens? You have the ball. You have a full two quarters to try to come back from an 11-point deficit. And then you have what we saw. You had the confusion. You had the what seemed like a it's nothing more than confusion. You had the confusion, and then you had Peyton doing what he did, and obviously you took a huge loss there as far as yards go. And then it was basically over from there. There was really no coming back. That was kind of the play of the game right there. And I don't want to say it didn't get executed correctly, but I mean, it was executed incorrectly of the way the play was called. So let's talk about what was asked, because it seems like the narrative is Hugh walked in and said that was unannounced. Unprompted, it seems like, if you just read Twitter and you just listen to the comments on social media and whatever, you would think that Hugh walked in and said, guys, I'm going to start off by saying that fourth and one was all Peyton's fault. Shouldn't have done that. We didn't call that, blah, 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 blah. That's what you would think. Well, I just read you several quotes from the opening monologue, but this is exactly the questions that were asked, and these were the answers, okay? Number one, this was how it started off. The fourth down call to start the fourth quarter. What was the call? What happened? That was the question. Hugh Freeze says, the call was dive left and we didn't execute that play. He didn't say Peyton didn't execute that play. He didn't say Peyton made up his own mind. He just said, we didn't execute that play. The call was dive left and we didn't execute that play. Follow up. It was not a read? ? So what was it at? So it wasn't, you're saying it wasn't an actual read option. Freeze says no. Okay. So let's just take that part of it. Fourth and one, start the fourth quarter. What was the call? What happened? The call was dive left. We didn't execute that. What is he supposed to say there? What is supposed to be the answer there? That's the part that I'm struggling with. Like, I don't know what else he's supposed to say there. He didn't name a player by name. He didn't say anything other than it was dive left and we didn't execute that play. And he said we. He didn't say Peyton. He said we. And obviously the follow-up, it wasn't a read. Like, so Peyton didn't have that option. He said no. But he didn't name – nobody named name yet. There's no names being thrown out. So that was the first question that was asked about that. And – up until this point, Peyton's name has not even been brought up, okay? Then there was three or four other questions asked in between. Again, Peyton's name is never brought up, okay? And then you go to the second part of the – somebody goes back in a little bit deeper on this play. So he says, going back to the fourth and one in your conversation with Peyton after, because it looks like obviously on the sidelines he's really mad, he's really heated at Peyton. Was it a busted play? What was your perspective on that? Okay. So tell us about the conversation. And what was your perspective on, like, what do you think happened? What's your perspective of what happened during that play? And he says, yeah, he absolutely didn't go with what we called. That's the first time he said Peyton did not go with what we called. Peyton is a thinker, and he knows a lot of football, and he tried to go with a read there. And I think everyone was a little confused. We definitely weren't on the same page there, and I should have used one of our timeouts there when I saw things were going awry. That's something that we have to learn from and get better. We've got to coach better where that's not really an option in that moment of time. So you're asked specifically what happens. He tells you specifically what happened. You can look at the play and look at where the blocking is and understand, and then look what Jarquez does after the play and understand that your quarterback did something out of the game plan. He took sort of his own liberties to call his own play. And not only did he call his own play, it seemed like the play that he called, there wasn't that option on that play. I have a guy that's on our message board. I can't remember if he said he played at Liberty or if someone he's related to played at Liberty called him immediately after the game. If you remember at thebarnauburn.com, you probably saw this, called him immediately, not after the game, after that play. He said, there's no read on that play. It was his brother. His brother played at Liberty, played center at Liberty, actually. And he said his brother called him immediately after that play and said, there is no read on that play. I know that play. That the dive left, that is a – you leave the outside defender unblocked. That is a dive left, and you got the numbers. The numbers were there. You look at the overhead shots. There's a gaping hole to the left, and – Peyton, look, and honestly, he called an audible, and it looks like if you watch him, he's telling Jarquez, you know, what to do. Like, he should, if you're calling an audible, why would he not already know what to do? Like, if it's something that's practiced, if it's something that's part of it, that's not how you run a read option. If it was a read option, then Jarquez would have dove left, pretending he had the ball so that you draw that defender. He didn't even do that. He didn't know what to do. He took a step towards the defender, and the whole play was blown up. So, again, Freeze is asked specifically, what was your perspective on what happened there? And he tells you, this is what happened. We had a play called, and Peyton just chose to do something else. So, and here's what he did. He complimented Peyton, said Peyton's a big thinker, and he knows the game, and he feels like he saw something, but I have to coach better to make sure that that's not an option for him. I have to coach better so that he understands that that's not a viable option to deviate like that in crunch time. Again, it's just when you watch the whole press conference, when you listen to the questions that are answered, do you realize that he's being asked questions in this thing? Do you think he's just going off cuff and just naming off all the people that suck, all the people that are making mistakes? No, they're asking him specific questions. They're asking him specific questions, and he's giving very specific answers, which I appreciate, to be honest. I like knowing a lot of the schematic things about what's going on, and he'll dive into it. He'll go straight into it. But even then, even in that, so he had a player that looked like a player called his own play, and he says, I've got to coach better. I've got to coach better so that they know that that's not an option to call your own play. At what level should you – I mean, is that really something you should have to coach? I mean, I'm just going to be honest. Is that really something that needs to be addressed? Hey, when they call a play, you run the play. And if there's not an option, clearly there's not. We've got people that played in this offense that are saying there is no read on that play. Hugh says there's no read on that play. It's a dive left. If you just run the play, if you change the play that's being run, I mean, there's really no other discussion to be had. Like, what else can you say? Like, how can you even really coach somebody harder or better at that point to not make up their own play in the dirt. Like it, that's just, that's the part that I really struggle with. I don't feel like people are being honest with themselves. And this is where we're going to wrap this thing up. I don't feel like we're being honest. We're pretending that I feel like we're pretending that I think we're mad that we're 2-4, and I get it. But we're not being honest with this whole situation. The throwing the players under the bus, I think that's dishonest at best. I think it's dishonest at best, nefarious at worst. I think what you're doing is, I don't want to say ignorant, okay, because I think you do, I think a lot of people do understand that, and when I say ignorant, I mean ignorant that questions are being asked. I don't want to go there because I think you do know questions are being asked and he in a press conference and he's answering those questions. But the throwing the players under the bus, I feel like is dishonest. I think if that's what the way you're characterizing it, based off of everything that I just read and based off that 10-minute press conference and every press conference that has been had, other coaches say things like this all the time. Saban, when he benched Jalen Milroe, said, we've got to get away from the two plays a game that kill us, the two mistakes a game that are killer. And he said his two mistakes a game that are killer. I mean, that's what he said after the Texas loss. That kind of stuff is said all the time. We just have four losses of out of the first six games. So it's a lot of that. And it's always ends up being in response to a question that's asked. But I feel like even then, he still always takes it back to coaching and we got to coach it harder. So I think we need to be a little bit more honest with ourselves. I think we need to actually go in and watch a full press conference. Today, he's going to have a press conference today. I'm going to watch it and I'm going to listen to the questions that are asked. And we're going to see. I think I'm sure they're going to talk more about that 4th-and-1 and we'll see what he says. But again, I hate to keep harping on this, but dang, that's all the talk was on social media. That's all the talk on message boards, throwing players under the bus. This Hugh doesn't ever take blame. And it's just untrue. It's 100% untrue. So, guys, I really hope you had a great weekend, even with the loss. We're going to battle through this bye week. We're still going to have content every single day. Hopefully have some cool guests on this week. I hope you enjoyed Cale Ellis on last night. And he's obviously, we're excited about him, and they're still kind of pushing to finish off this class, and we'll see how that plays out as well. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Sign up for The Barn, thebarnauburn.com. Only $1 for your first month. And you can follow me on Twitter at @the_charlie_5. You know we're going to be back every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.